Blog Talk Radio.
Load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Welcome to the Wealth Money Radio Show.
Yeah.
Brought to you by WealthMoney.org. Byron Dale and Greg Soderbergh are your hosts. This is the only program that addresses the destructive consequences of using a debt money system. Financial slavery is the result when all money is created and put into circulation through loans. How interest grows the debt, but not the money supply, and the effects that interest and debt has on our lives. If you would like to join the program and have a question or a comment, please call 347-884-9499. That's 347-884-9499. And now your hosts, Byron Dale and Greg Soderbergh.
What do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Ah, yes, the wonders of technology. Makes me wonder sometimes. I had a little problem getting the show started today, but here we are, Wealth Money Radio, Saturday morning, October 26th, 2019. We're Byron Dale and Gregory K. Soderbergh. Wealth money is money that exists with no debt to anyone. It represents what we produce and own, not what we owe. Wealth money is a free people's money, an honest, just, and caring people's money. Americans can have wealth money again by passing the American Transportation Act. It promotes the general welfare, as stated in the preamble to the Constitution for the United States, instructing Congress to do what it has always had the authority to do, coin money, establish post offices and post roads. Simply, our Treasury will create and spend all new money into circulation as a payment earned for building and maintaining public roads and bridges, and do that in place of taxing or borrowing. So, let's stop being forced into debt to get money created. Let's uphold our 13th Amendment protection against involuntary servitude. And let's make America free so that it can be great. We'll be here for another, let's see, maybe 30, 40 minutes. Right now it's, I got 10 minutes after 10. So I'd like to hear from you. The number is 347-884-9499. Well, Byron, we finally got things going this morning.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. My phone just wouldn't dial, and then Judy was moving around, moving all the phones and checking all the phones, and all of a sudden it come. We got Rule in this, here this morning, so why don't we bring him on and see what he has to say this morning.
All right.
Good morning, Rule.
Good morning. Hey.
How's the world going down your way?
You know, I always have to chuckle because I see it only going one way, and that is it's going negative, and I don't want to focus on the negative, but everybody's grasping for straws. We had our governor, you know, bragging a week ago about these trade deals with China and how it's gonna, you know, just really, really save jobs and spur our economy. And but then at the flip side, I don't know if you've been listening to just what's being put in the newspapers or whatnot, but they're talking about. I know Greg and I talked about this universal basic income, and many states, including Nebraska, in Omaha, they are trying doing studies. They're giving, you know, in Omaha, I know like 1,000 people so much money per month to see how they spend and how they survive on it, and Yeah, and actually, India is going to implement it permanently. They're trying to, but the whole world is acknowledging that something is not right. It's not working. However, we got a president that's telling everybody, you know, the opposite. So do you have any insight into that universal basic income, you guys?
I do.
Well,
it's like you gotta have some humanity rule. You gotta give the slaves a little bit of income so they got something to live on. That's what I mean. And then I ask all the basic income people, we have this problem with some people don't have enough money, apparently. Where does the money come from for basic income? That's what they ought to ask themselves. Well, it's got to be borrowed. That's the problem. That's why they think people need basic income. It's ridiculous. I don't know. Byron, you got a different take on it?
Well, that's what I was going to ask. They need to ask, well, where is this money going to come from for all this basic income? And on top of that, it's not enough to really make any difference, because I guarantee you $1,000 a month is not really going to make a whole big of a difference, because...
Just lost you.
Yeah. So maybe he'll be back. We had this problem earlier with... loss of signal. It's pretty weird.
Is the show still going or no?
I don't know, but you know, we can talk about it and see what happens here.
Well, you know, Greg, I did quite a bit of research last night on it because it made the news again last night, and I'm wondering, you know, why did they feel so desperate all of a sudden, you know, to do this? And then I started looking. You know, and how it ties in with the Green New Deal and all this stuff. Why the urgency to feel so humanitarian? Oh, we got to help everybody. You know, we got to. But yet, at the top, what's really absurd is that you have a certain class of people that make three times that already for free, or it's not free to us, but it's free to them, and.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, and who gets to decide, you know, or why they get to decide our fate? You know what I mean? It's like, I mean.
Well, I've thought about a number of times, comes to my mind when this subject comes around, is that as the debt grows worldwide and the spread widens, it just means there'll be growing shortages of money and loss of purchasing power in the money. And those that create all the money and want to maintain control probably starting to realize they need to do something to keep the system going so that they can continue to benefit from it. So, yeah, maybe they go along with giving the slaves just a little bit more money so they don't holler so loud all the time. And then, you know, we can keep this thing going. What, you know, I don't know, but with all the concern and problems with money and people complaining about money and their taxes are too high and it goes on and all this, why nobody asks themselves, well, money is man-made. Why should there be a shortage? Where does this money come from? And if they would just do that, now we could get to the root of the problem. Generally, everyone would know the root of the problem, and the solution to the problem is really simple. And we could implement the solution, and people wouldn't need basic income. When you start bringing debt-free money into circulation, what happens over time as you slow the creation of money as debt is that you restore the purchasing power in the medium of exchange. And because that medium of exchange does not accrue interest with time, there's no interest involved. It's not a debt. It enables people to have surplus or to have savings. And savings is very important because unexpected things come up from time to time in life, and because they're unexpected, we can't prepare for them because it's unsuspected. But if we have savings, we have the ability to deal with some of those problems. Right now, the way that the world deals with those problems is creating taxes to tax money away to try to solve these problems that people have because they don't have enough money. But the taxing is no solution when you have a shortage. You can't move something from here to there if you have a shortage and change anything. You just move the problem. And so a rule, I don't know, I say what they're thinking because I'm going to give them credit for thinking that they are thinking. But I don't know what they're thinking because maybe they're not thinking.
It's scary when you think about it that we've gotten to the point after all these years that we have a certain elite that decide, you know, they can do this. They can come up with a plan, and no matter what, we don't get a say. They can just use us as basically test rats. And just have fun with it.
And
the people...
You use the right word, use. And, you know, when a producer has to go to the non-producer to get money, and they have to borrow it from that non-producer, then the non-producer is using us. And, you know, they're using us to get the benefit of our production. Now, that's either going to come through interest that they get on the loan, or it's going to come through the actual physical property that we forfeit when we have a bad loan. And they have nothing in the first place. They simply create the numbers and put them in your account. You know, and like the guy at the furniture store, in order to sell a sofa, he's really got to have a sofa. And the guy at the car dealer, to sell a car, he's really got to have a car. But the people that create the money, they don't have to have anything. They just create the numbers if they decide to lend to you. So they're using you, and maybe that's where the word usury comes from. But usury, to me, indicates interest on borrowed money. But what we're really talking about, when you use people, when they're in servitude, you make them slaves, and you use them. And so that's what I'm thinking about, what you're talking about, using people.
Yeah, and you know, and getting to you mentioned the word tax, and the word tax back in throughout history was always equated as something that's to place into shackles or to put an excess burden upon. That's what it means when you're taxed. That means you're so tired you can't get enough rest to keep up with the burden that's on your back. And that's
and people have used the word when they say something's very difficult. They say it's very taxing. This has been very taxing on me, very taxing on us. And I think that's what you're talking about, kind of in definition there.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I read this article last night, and it was saying that by 2030, America or most of the world's going to lose 50% of their job force due to artificial intelligence and robotics. Therefore, now this is how silly this idea is. And the IMF is saying, well, maybe we can tax the robots.
Looks like Biden, you're back, right?
Yeah, I am now. I just got there. Yeah, I don't know what the heck happened.
Well, we just kept rolling along.
How would you tax a robot?
Byron, you got to give the robot a basic income. Oh, God. What if the robots are going to eat them hamburgers? God.
People can't really be that stupid, can they?
I think they can. I hate to burst your bubble, but I think they can.
Yeah.
Friday.
They said maybe that's one way we could come up with a universal income, is that, you know, every robot had a tax on it that was levied on it, and then the corporations had to pay in, and then that money goes to the people. And, oh, I mean, you can't make this stuff is so bizarre. That...
Well, another thing, too, is we're still talking about...
if you're going to do that, why don't you just hire somebody to work instead of have the robot?
Right. And, you know,
they want the robots because then they don't have to pay the wages.
Yep. The robotics thing is simply an effort to maintain profit margins, reduce your cost of doing business so you can retain more of the money. And as the spread grows and grows, we've written about this numerous times, it becomes more and more difficult for businesses to maintain profit margins. It makes it more and more difficult for people to buy groceries because the spread between the cost of living and the amount of money they have gets wider and wider. And if we keep doing that, we can provide a basic income to the robots, and we can tax it away from them, but you're not going to get rid of the constant and growing spread and the problems that it causes. You know, the only way to do it is to make that money a representation of what we produce. And that's what the American Transportation Act does, and it does it under constitutional principles. Okay, the people, the citizens of this country, build roads and bridges. They bring their labor, their bodies and their labor to the job, and they bring the materials to the job just like they do now, but they don't get their paychecks borrowed like they do now. They get paid when the work is done, and we all use those roads and bridges with no fees or taxation, no borrowing, no debt of any kind. We produce something that everyone benefits from, and that's a very difficult thing to do, to find something that everyone benefits from, but that's the only way we're going to do it. So there you go.
Agreed.
I don't know how else you could do it, because if you have to borrow it, you're going to have the interest. The interest constantly makes the debt grow, but not the money supply. And if you don't believe that, just go on your computer and look up the debt clock and look at how much the debt is and how much the money supply is and how much debt there is for everybody. And if all this debt's out there, somebody's got to be paying interest on it.
Yep.
And they talk about a minimum or not even that
basically.
Interest. Well, I don't even understand if how can you even have an interest? I mean, a no interest on interest. I mean, whole
negative.
Concept of what they're saying is just way beyond comprehension to anybody that can think, because
right. I mean,
thinking gets involved in, wait a minute, that's just an impossible kind of concept they're talking about. And I had a woman the other day tell me, well, if this is an unworkable system, then it will quit working sometime. It has to quit working. But see, I'm not so sure of that, and I didn't think about to tell her that at that moment, because they can slip away a lot of this debt, because the Treasury, the Federal Reserve System clearly has the power to just do away with debt that they don't think is absolutely is not possible. So you could do that, and they could get rid of a lot of the debt. But if they didn't change the system of how the money gets into the system, well, you're still not going to solve the problem, because you may get rid of a lot of the debt, but you'll still have to have the debt. And if you're paying interest on the debt, and if you're not paying interest on the debt, well, then what's the sense of having the debt? I mean, the whole concept is to make a profit off of what you loan. And the trouble is, they don't actually loan anything. They just convince you did, because they put numbers in your checking account and said, well, now you've got new money. But it goes on the books of the banks as a liability, so it's something that they haven't paid for, or they couldn't have a liability. So, and yet nobody ever wants to look at this whole thing and from scratch, from beginning, and think about the consequences of each one. And these guys call themselves brainy economists?
That's not the thing. That's a, what they call it, oxymoron. Not to call them morons, but that's what they call oxymorons. But, you know,
I think they are morons.
Yeah, but, you know, you're talking about, I think you're getting into this negative interest bullshit they've been talking about and how it's so, you know, and all that is more economic ease, more of the economic language. It's the same confusing, nonsensical, ridiculous language that they use in the beginning to talk about the system that we have now. Now they're just going to add some more BS to it. And, you know, you wouldn't have to worry about negative interest rates, positive interest rates, probably wouldn't even hear the word interest rates, if you didn't have the debt in the first place. And, you know, Byron was talking about this spread and, you know, trying to get people to understand it, and some understand it different ways. But if you have a, let's say you had a furniture store, okay, you borrowed money to fill your furniture store with inventory, okay, you have an interest cost on the money you borrowed, what are you going to do? You're going to have to charge that in your prices. So that sofa is going to cost more because of the interest than it would if you didn't have the interest. And over time, as everybody else's costs come to your furniture store, raising your costs of doing business, you have to continue to raise your prices to try to cover your costs. And this is what causes what the big dummies all talk about, inflation, the price inflation. And it's a direct cause of the interest on created money. And if you didn't have that, you wouldn't have those problems. We talked about purchasing power savings earlier in the show. And if you didn't create the money as debt, you wouldn't have the servitude problem. You wouldn't have the non-producers benefiting from the producers. And we have a much better world. And quite frankly, I wish America would get off its ass and do the right thing and lead again. Show the world how to be free. Fair.
Well, I think that Nori's on the show, and I think he's going to talk about what he does, which I think if a lot of people did that, we might be able to make a change, because Nori's always talking about he goes to his legislators, and I think you're there, Nori, so go ahead.
Hi, Byron. How are you doing?
Good.
I called my Congress.
Go ahead.
I called my congressman yesterday, and I called my two senators and demanded passage of the American Transportation Act. And I told them that if they don't introduce the bill in the House of Representatives or the senators in the Senate, I won't vote for them in the next election.
How'd that go
now,
over?
If we had – go ahead, Greg.
What did they say to that? Nori,
they said that they would consider it, and that they would introduce the bill, and I'm still putting pressure on them, trying to get them to introduce the bill, and I've been talking to a few of my friends about the debt money system and about the solution to the problem, I asked them, do they want to get rid of the Internal Revenue Service? Yes or no? And they said yes. And I said that there's legislation out there to do that. It's called the American Transportation Act. They said that they would help me to get the bill passed. And I've been asked them for the help in doing so, and I have been very active on the issue. And
that's
see
good,
if we
Nori,
could get
you know.
A lot more people. If we could get a lot more people doing that, and calling their congressman, and actually trying to get something done, you know, down to legislature, and of course. It appears to me that our legislature really didn't exist anymore, because almost all you hear about on the television about the legislature is all they're trying to do is figure out a way to impeach the president. And, you know, and that in itself ought to be treason. They should be arrested for treason, because if you're trying to illegally, not even the right way to go about it according to the rules that they've ever used on impeachment. Well, to impeach a president just because he got elected and somebody you know didn't or you liked, that in itself should be treason beyond question. And I would think that, by golly, they should start. What happened to the rest of the legislators, the Republicans, and even the Attorney General and all those people? Why in the heck don't they address any of these issues? Now, I think yesterday was the first time I ever heard anybody talking about treason, or and this is what this is. If you're trying to illegally get rid of a president, well, what can that be but treason to the country?
But they don't even know what the word means, because you got socialists, declared socialists that Americans allow to run for office. Socialist who does not want a constitutional republic. He wants a socialist government. To me, that's treasonous, and there's Americans that support and would vote for that guy to have a socialist form of government. God, we've gone to war over stuff like that, people wanting to change our government. And, you know, but they don't even know what treason is. If they did, they wouldn't support.
Apparently not.
And they wouldn't allow socialists or communists or whomever to run for office. And it's sick, but you know, Norrie's doing the right thing. I went to my first district congressman yesterday, Jim Hagedorn, and I had about a half hour, 45 minute conversation with Ryan Altman, his aide, and went through the American Transportation Act, went through a number of other things, and I asked that Congressman Hagedorn sponsor the American Transportation Act, get some of his friends in Congress to sponsor it with him, and when I got done with the meeting, then I called a number of or texted a number of people that I know. I told them I had this meeting. Here's the phone number to the office. Why don't you call them? Have anybody else you know call them and say, yeah, we want Congressman Hagedorn to sponsor the American Transportation Act. So, Norrie, when you go through the efforts that you do, you might try to get some folks to follow up after you talk to your congressman. Have some other folks follow up and saying, yeah, we agree with Norrie. We want you to do this, and that can help too. But, you know, it's just a matter of people getting off their butts, and instead of complaining, which is all Americans do now, is complain, argue, complain. But they do all kinds of text messaging and emailing and voicemails and everything. But how many of those go to their congressmen? Because they're afraid of their government. They want to bitch about it, but they don't want to stand up to it. And that's what American citizens were supposed to do, check their government to make sure it stayed within the boundaries of the law. We're afraid to do that. In my opinion, the only time we get really brave around here is when they give us a bunch of guns and bombs and airplanes and we go someplace to war, and now we can do whatever the hell we want. Then we're real brave. But we can't seem to stand up to the suits and ties. Gosh.
I know you and I went to see a congressman quite a few years ago, and he listened, and then he said, well, how many of you are out there in the parking lot? Well, we had to say there probably wasn't any. He said, well, when you get 1,000 out there, come back, and I might listen to you. That's what the congressmen are supposed to do. I mean, if you come in and, you know, like redress a grievance, that's clearly just like, you know, freedom of speech, but somehow nobody ever even uses those words, redress agreements, and apparently nobody has any clue what it's all about or how
we should try
to use it.
Byron, you're talking about the congressman want to know how many were out in the parking lot. That's total BS. That's an excuse, and you and I both know it, because in 1993, in Project 93, we went to Washington, D.C., I know we had 1,000 or 2,000 people on the steps of the White House up there, and it was all in support of the American Transportation Act. At the time, it was called the Money Reform Act. And we turned in 2 million petition signatures in favor of the bill. What happened? Nothing.
Nothing.
So this whole thing about how many people you got, bull, it's what kind of an idea do you have? And that gets down to our elections, too. Instead of worrying about which party they're from, let's talk about what idea they represent. And that's the point. This is an idea that will restore America and, quite frankly, set an example for the rest of the world. So I just wondered, you know, when we're going to get to it. And, you know, there's not, we don't have a
well,
whole bunch of people.
We're only going to get to it when we somehow have some congressman that is literally honest and want to address what's going on and willing to talk to it. I read it, and I got an email from a guy that's running for some office here in Minnesota. And when it ended up, he said, well, we got to get into the goal system, you know, goal for money. Well, you know, there again shows he's never really thought things through, because I guarantee you, I did a lot of math a few years back, and if we had all the gold in the world in the United States that's ever been mined, with our trade deficit, it'd only take 3.5 years that we'd be out of gold, because it'd all go overseas, the trade deficit. Well, you know, it just goes to show you, it's so controlled, and the thought of the thought process is controlled, because you turn on the TV and the same people are telling you the same thing day after day after day, and you never hear anybody to say anything different. I mean, you never hear anybody says, well, wait a minute, isn't it a problem that we have all money created as loans? Or
yeah,
most of the money all created as loans. And why can't we get a congressman to say, that sounds reasonable, what could we do about it? And I had a discussion with a woman that came to my home the other day, and she said, well, that makes sense. Now, what would you do about it? And I really got the impression she thought that would shut me up, because, you know, obviously nobody seems to have a solution, and I spelled it out, what you do. And that made a lot of sense to her. And then, of course, you come up with the thing that, well, if it can't work, then in some time it will quit working. Okay, and I agreed with that. But if that happens, what are we going to replace it with? If it quits working, then we're going to have some kind of a money system. And if we won't talk about it now, what we could do to make a difference, what would, if all of a sudden they said, well, there is no money, and everything went to boom and just broke down, well, then who's going to come up with the right solution? The solution will be, well, let's just start over from scratch and do the same thing we did before.
Yeah, there you go. And, you know, that guy I talked to you about the gold, I'd ask that guy, okay, well, if we go to gold for money, how will I get it? How, you know, when I don't know, it's going to come from somewhere. How will I get it? And, you know.
Well, you know, now these guys are always selling gold, and they want you to buy the gold from them with the paper debt money. And then I want to use my gold, I got to go back to the same guy and sell the gold back to him and get the same money that I, you know, the same interest-bearing debt money that I had to, get, you know, give him to get the gold. I mean, it's
right.
So, I mean, don't these guys ever think about anything? And I hate to tell you, Greg, but our time is up. We're going to get just shut down here in a few minutes if we don't close the show. And we may have to make these shows a little longer again. I don't know. You can keep thinking about that and see, but I think we will have to close the show. And I thank for our listeners and people who called in, and we appreciate your help and your willingness to listen. And we hope that now that once you do, you will also get out and tell people there are solutions to all these problems. And so with that, we'll tell you goodbye and thank you for being on the show.
See you next week.
Yes.
Byron and Greg want to thank you for listening to the Wealth Money Radio Show. Please visit our website at wealthmoney.org. We would appreciate your support by purchasing the books and materials. Don't just purchase the books, but study the information we have presented and tell others the truth of our debt-based system, the problems interest causes, and the slavery it promotes. Byron and Greg, thank you for your support.